over.
A handy
dandy belted
then, what the heck?
Just hanging out, and talking dance stuff.
Don't give school dads any dad guff.
So take a knee, use inside voices. We're talking no malarkey, tire pressure, playing catch, time a corner, doing raids. It's your bedtime, eat your veggies. Pull up a lawn chair and open some suds. Crack some dad jokes with these dad buds. You better behave or they'll turn this damn car right around.
What's up, man?
I'm melting, Brett.
Melting?
I'm in a constant stage of melting.
Is that the old age or the heat outside?
Honestly, it's the creaking is more the old age. The melting is just from what's outside. We got back home to California, and I took one look at the forecast. And I almost turned back around and went back to the airport because this is just, it's just so bad. We can't do anything.
I know.
I feel like this is its own state shutdown. It's brutal. I don't know why. Maybe
sweltering.
In comparison to where we were in Michigan, maybe it just feels worse, but I just feel like we haven't felt anything like this. I literally felt like I walked outside and walked into an oven yesterday.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. I can't do anything outside. Like, I have a couple projects I want to get done around the house.
I want
to just go outside and run around a little bit, you know, get cabin fever or whatever, and can't. It's really hard to... See, growing up in Seattle, it would be hard to explain this to anyone who grows up there or even to a young Brett Davern growing up there because it's just like, what are you complaining about? The sun's out. Seems like a beautiful day. Right. No, it's like oppressively hot. I can't explain it to anybody. Nobody understands.
Yeah.
Nobody understands.
No, truly. It's brutal. It just puts you... Are you one of those people... Like, I only ask this because I am this way. Are you one of those people that just instantly becomes, like, a crotchety old curmudgeon as soon as you start getting really hot? Like, I get cranky.
Yeah, I can't stand it. It's awful. Because, I mean, honestly, like, I went out in the garage to just put something away, right?
Yeah.
And was sweating by the time I walked back inside.
Yep.
Felt that little bit on the, you know, on like your lower back, you know, it's just like, oh, why am I sweating all of a sudden? I've got to get out of here. And then I realized I'd only been out there for about 20 seconds.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's terrible. There's no wind.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, and like, you know, here's the other thing, Nathan. Now, look, I know I'm no scientist, but there's sun every day in LA.
Uh-huh.
Why does it just one morning decide to be hot as hell? Because there was sun yesterday, and it was like, you know, 79, 84, something like that, right?
Yeah.
Then you wake up the next day, and it's the same sun, only now it's 150 degrees.
Right.
What the heck?
I don't know. I
thought we were on some sort of like nice loopy orbit. Like, did we just overnight jump like 5 feet closer?
Yeah.
What happened?
I couldn't tell you. I have no idea, but I want someone to give me answers for this crime against my face
because I
can't do this anymore. And Rosie is utterly immune to it. She, as soon as she wakes up in the morning, she just starts, can we go outside? What can we do?
Yeah.
Can we go play? And it's just, at this point, it's actually kind of a health and safety problem. And we kind of have to say, well, you'll get heat stroke in about 20 minutes. So
what? Don't
probably
tell,
not. We didn't
did
actually
you tell
her that.
A 2-year-old that. Okay, I was.
She
say.
Doesn't know the complexities of heat stroke. We.
You
just,
know, I was gonna, hey, dude. If you were being serious, you were about to win the award for just like crazy parent of the year or something. I was gonna be like, bro. Don't scare her about heat stroke.
Yeah, I know. But she would get heat stroke, though.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
With how she runs around. So, I don't know.
You gotta be careful.
Yeah, for sure. I just think that... I don't know. I'm over it. But the upside... the upside and the downside is the beaches are like 30 degrees cooler, but...
Yes.
You can't really, well, you can go, but everybody else is going to be there too. So we haven't risked going to the beach yet, lockdown
wise. You know, we went on a drive this last weekend.
Yeah.
And the, you know, nice place to drive is out on the PCH, which runs right up the coast. So you pass all the beaches and it was very crowded over the weekend.
Yeah.
But during the week, during the week, the beaches have been not very crowded. So we've been going to the beach a lot, especially in the morning.
Yeah.
There's a couple beaches out towards Malibu that are kind of, there's like rocks on each end of the beach that kind of block certain beaches off. So once the parking lot fills up top, people stop coming down there really because there's just no room and people know that. Yeah. So there's a few beaches that if you get there early, they don't crowd up throughout the day. I'll send you a text. I don't want to say it on the air. I don't want people crowding up my beach.
Yeah.
But I'll send you a text.
Your secret local Californian Malibu spot, bro.
Yeah, bro. Just take the 101 north, man. Get off the Canaan. Take a left over the hill. What are you doing here? Isn't that the SNL thing?
Stuart Devin?
you know that it's hot when even going into the backyard and getting in the pool doesn't sound great.
Yeah, that's
because
its own kind of
you have to stand in the pool, otherwise there's nowhere else to be. Like the second you get out of the pool, you don't feel like being outside anymore. It's so hot.
Yeah, exactly. And not the worst thing, but just to make matters even dumber, our HOA that we live in has like a community pool, but it's shut down because of the freaking lockdown. So we could go and get into some nice cold water and cool off and it would be awesome, but we can't even do that because I guess they feel like we can't make it so that we're 6 feet away from each other. So it's right in our grasp. We walk by it every day, but we can't use it. It's torturous.
Well, after your quarantine period of being on the plane is over, and if you've been careful since then, maybe we'll open up the Davern pool for you guys.
Oh, hey.
You know, come over to the Davern community pool. It's right in the backyard, nice and private.
Yeah, I like that. Man, honestly, even just forget the pool. I just want to see you guys. We miss you guys. It's been,
I know, man.
Our children are going to look completely different from when the last
so
time
much
we actually
time.
Saw each other. Yeah.
So much time has passed by, man. It's just, it's crazy. I can't believe that it's August, mid-August already.
Yeah.
It just feels like, I don't know, sometimes it feels like we've only been doing this a few weeks, and then other times it feels like we've been doing it for years. I can't figure it out. And also, it just feels like a weird time warp, you know?
I'm sorry, am I boring you with this conversation?
Yeah. No, I didn't have any coffee today.
I know.
It feels like, I guess it feels, I'm sorry, honestly, the best way I can describe what I'm feeling is I just feel like I drove home and don't remember driving home every day.
Yeah.
You know, like I just feel like every day passes by and I have this moment at the end where I go, what did I even do today?
Mm-hmm.
I don't really remember. And then even all the camping trips and stuff we've been taking have been great while we're on them. And then you have to come back to normal, or normal is not the right word, but like you come back to the world and it's like, you guys are still doing this. I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
I just try to get away again. But then, you know, it only lasts for those 2 days when you're out there.
Yeah. Right.
Because everything's just so crazy right now.
Yeah. And that was, it was even when we were in Michigan, which we just got back from, it was, even that was strange to think, wow, we were gone for a month and a half and it feels like it just disappeared. All sense of time is just so messed up.
Yeah.
It's so strange, but it was nice to be in states where it was a little bit more open, you know, like you could at least go to a playground and then everyone just sanitizes their kids' hands and tries to keep people away from each other, which is not that hard to do. And then that's it. You know, it was nice to get like a little bit of a reprieve because California definitely, just due to the population, is taking it very, very seriously, which they should be. I mean, it's the right thing to do. But it was nice to just be able to get a little bit of a stretch with that. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think we would have felt as good about it if we hadn't just gotten over COVID because of the antibodies that you get for that like short amount of time.
Totally.
And I guess since then they said, this may have changed by now, but they said like you get like a 3-month window where you're either like not infectious or immune or whatever, where you can kind of have a little bit more leeway. But soon enough, that's going to be closed down for us and we'll just have to go right back to the way that things were, which is a little bit depressing. I'm not going to lie, because that trip was pretty nice. But
yeah, man.
I don't know. I'm glad that you've been able to get out and do your wilderness stuff too.
Yeah, we're doing the wilderness stuff. You know, it's just, it's one of those things where I remember at the very beginning of this, it was like, okay, we made it through a week. Let's make it through next week. Okay, we made it through another week. All right, that's 2 weeks. We're good now, right? You know?
Yeah.
And now it's just like I've lost all concept of anything. It's just like the weeks are ticking by and I'm just trying to hold on for dear life. We do have something new happening though at home that I guess we could get into as this show rolls on, since we got to take a break anyway. School starts this week.
Yeah.
And the boy, it's time for him to go to kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
And this is definitely not how we saw that all starting out.
Yeah.
So that's going on this week. You want to talk about it?
I do. Yeah, I got stuff to talk about with that on my end too. So
all right. Let's take a break on Radioactive Dads on Adobe Radio, and we'll be right back. All right, Nathan. So school started up this week for everybody here in Los Angeles and the Los Angeles School District, and it's all being done online, virtual school. It's like a Zoom meeting for kids. And our kindergartner, it's his first day of school ever, except it happened on an iPad in our room off the kitchen. So, yeah, even when this all popped off in March, like I remember Mrs. Davern saying to me, like, well, what about school in the fall? And I was like, oh, please, we'll have it figured out by then. But what I forgot is we have an insane orange person in the White House. who seemingly doesn't care about getting this over with. And
no, he knows exactly what he's doing.
Honestly,
he has the best plan.
I don't want to get political or anything, but just on a human level, like, are we even doing anything to try to figure this thing out even anymore? Or it really does just feel like every person for themselves.
Yeah.
Doesn't it at this point? Well, at the beginning, it was like you're getting updates all the time, you know, and like, hey, we're doing this, we're doing that. We're going to do a stimulus. We're going to help everybody out with getting paid during this time or like whatever. Hey, we're with you. But that sort of died off like 2 months ago, right?
Yeah.
Pardon the pun. Pardon the pun.
Well, yeah. Come on, man. Be sensitive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that is what has bothered me the most about this whole thing is like, you know, there's supposed to be that second round of COVID relief and all that stuff. And Congress was like, you know what? We're miles away on an agreement. So let's just take a break until Labor Day. Let's
we'll just
go on
here.
Vacation. Yeah. No. They're not even just sitting there. They're on vacation.
Right.
So
right.
They like left while they're collecting their pay to go take their vacation while the rest of America does not get the federal benefit anymore. And I guess the executive order benefit may be happening, but nobody knows yet if it's actually happening or if it's going to work.
That's what I mean. Like you get this like news and you're like, oh, okay. Oh, all right. So that's happening then. And it's like, people are like, they kind of shrug and go, well, we think so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We hope so.
Okay. So anyway, but so school though.
Yeah.
So school's starting up because here we go. And, you know, now I wish he was a year younger. Because it's like, dude, it's rough, man.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, people out there think that they have it rough, you know, like, oh, I can't leave my place or I haven't been to the grocery store in a while. Yeah. Try seeing it through the eyes of a child.
Yeah.
You know, like you've already lived 25 something years or whatever it is. You know what I mean? You can take a break for a few months. When you're five, this is now becoming a large percentage of your life. Mm-hmm. And but the thing is they only really know what you tell them as a parent, right? So we're doing it, you know, we're facing it with as brave a face as possible. And we're just like, we're just calling it school. And even though it's just a table in the room off the kitchen, like I said, but we're like, hey, man, time to go to school. And hey, it's your first day of school. And we bought some new school clothes online. And so it was like, let's get dressed up for your first day of school on your iPad. And we're trying the best we can. You know, we like decorated the wall behind him where he sits on his Zoom meeting. Mm-hmm. And it's like, sounds all sweet and everything. And I think we're doing it right. But man, it's depressing as hell, yep. You know, and you got all these people running around out there complaining about their own lives and stuff. And it's like, give me a break. Like these little guys over here are experiencing all these firsts, and you got to experience all those firsts. And now you're just being asked to chill for a few months and wear a face covering, and people can't even do that, you know? And yet there's these kids like our kid, like our son, who we just get him super excited for school, and he's putting on the bravest face ever and smiling through it because, you know, kids are better than us.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And they adapt better, you know? And we just, as adults, just sit over here, oh, complain. Like, give me a break. So you get to watch some Netflix, play some video games, you know?
Yeah.
Catch up on some TV shows.
Yeah.
I guess at least you're not trying to learn finger painting on an iPad.
Right.
or have your parents try to sit you in a chair for, you know, over an hour when you're five. Mm-hmm. And stare at a screen
with some woman that they've never met before telling them suddenly what to do, and there's 30 other kids that you're looking at,
yeah,
and you don't know any of these clowns, and like, what is going on? Where are these people? Why am I not with them? There's so many, the childlike innocence, like you said, I feel like is such a great asset with all this stuff, because they just don't really have the opportunity or the life experience to know any better. For them now, this is just the way that it is. So it's sad, but I guess it's kind of a good thing, you know, because they don't really know what it's supposed to be like. The hard part is just thinking, like, is this going to be his entire kindergarten year, you know?
Probably, or
beyond, you know? It's just, it's insane to just think how far this could potentially go. Especially if they take longer to get a vaccine, or if there is no vaccine, you know, that's gonna be like the ultimate, just waste of lives and the economy and depression and everything else. If like it ends up being that there's no way to just get back to normal, so we just have to get back out and do life. I'm having this weird nightmare scenario where I feel like that is what it's gonna be, that all of this was pointless, and that.
That's what I was saying. Like, it feels like it right now, because it just, you don't get any, I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know what's happening. You know, you hear, oh, they made a breakthrough over here. Well, did they or did they not? I don't know. So we just have to try to stay positive, you know, and that's all we really can do, I guess. But I would imagine it's going to be the entire school year, at least until January. But see, the way that we talk about it, if anyone out there is gleaning any advice from this or not, I'm not giving you any advice, but this is just what we're doing, and you can take that for what it is. We're still not really talking about it in terms of a disease or a pandemic or a sickness or a virus or anything like that. It's just the school is closed for now, and this is how everyone's doing school. And we just keep reminding him that that's how all of his friends are doing school, and he's not missing out on anything, because that's the big thing that he's worried about. Mm-hmm. It's like, what am I missing? Because geographically, the school is right down the right down the street from our house. Yeah. So when we take a walk, you can see the school. So he's really, and he knows that's his school. So he's nervous that there's a bunch of kids running around out on the playground while he's not there. Right. So we just have to keep walking past going like, look, see, no one's there. Everyone's doing it on the iPad, and just trying to normalize it as much as possible for him. That's all you can really do. I think anyone out there who has like kindergarten or younger age kids who are like telling them like they can't go to school because there's a disease in the world. I mean, I don't know. I worry about that kid at 13.
You know?
And like the fear that you're instilling in that kid at that young age. We're just going with it's closed for now. I think if your kid is older, then that's a different conversation.
But yeah.
For the age that they're at now for us, this is what we're going with.
Yeah. I mean, we've honestly, I don't know. I do get what you're saying. I don't know if I totally agree necessarily that it's like a kind of an automatic scarring thing because I know. And that's the fun of this because we get to talk about it. Because I just know like we've been sort of in as broad as we can, 2-year-old terms, we've been explaining to Rosie that there is like essentially, well, you know, we dumb it down and you can dumb it down as much as you want, but like that there is a sickness or kind of a flu that goes around and, you know, it's not a big deal if we get it, but other people, if they get it, they could get really sick. And so everyone is staying home to keep other people from getting sick. So when I think that was the other way of doing it is like, because largely that is the stay at home order, because for the most part, you know, at least 80% of the time or whatever it is really nothing more than a flu. But for those people who are compromised, it's so much worse. So since we're not necessarily in that group, then it's a little bit easier to say, oh, well, it's not really about us. It's about us trying to help other people by staying home rather than saying, if you go outside, you will get sick. And, you know, it's this worldwide thing and it's a really big deal. So that way we've kind of made it seem to her like it's her being a helper, which is her big thing right now is trying to help out and do things and help other people. And especially thanks to Doc McStuffins, she's really into being a doctor right now. So we've kind of been playing up on that thing too, is that like there's doctors that are trying to help people be better. And the way that we can help out is by staying at home. And that's why the parks are closed. And that's why we can't go to the playground. And that's why the pool is closed and yada, yada, yada. So there are, I feel like as long as you're really careful to not necessarily put it on, you know, there's a pandemic out there. And if you go out, you could get very, very sick. Statistically, that's so infinitesimally unlikely. It's easier to just couch it as we're doing it to help other people. And I feel like that's a little bit easier to swallow. So I don't know. There's not to say that your way is wrong. I'm just saying that's kind of how we've done it. And it's been pretty effective. So there's sort of, if you want to not completely not let them know what's going on, there's kind of a way to couch it too, in a way that's more about like trying to help other people rather than just keeping it like completely quiet and just saying that things are, you know, sort of mysteriously closed. So however you want to do it, that's just kind of an alternative way of doing it. But either way, it all comes out to the same outcome.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about in the way that you explain it too. If you're calm about it and whatever, that's obviously, you know, the first thing to do. I worry that there's people out there that aren't so level-headed.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So. And being really careful to like how you explain it. Cause I know like at that age, kids are so innocent and they don't fully understand things. Like we had a friend of ours, they have a 5-year-old and she has, it's interesting. She has like a seasonal flu disorder, sort of like where she'll just get, or I'm sorry, not a flu, a fever, where she'll just, without really anything else, she just randomly gets a really high fever a couple times a year. And it's not due to sickness or anything else. It's just something that happens to her. And because a fever is one of the symptoms of COVID, I guess they knew about that. And one night she woke up with a fever and she was, you know, like crying and her mom came over and she was like, I have the corona. And so it was, you know, cute, but I think, I don't know like what she's heard from other people or like from her older siblings. Cause I know that they explained it to the older brother cause he's like 9 or 10. So that was, they had to explain it to him cause he was like, why can't I see my friends? You know? So like you were saying, there's so many tiers of when they're old enough to fully understand. So maybe he like told her and then wasn't as sensitive about explaining it, so she sort of had her own preconceived notions about it. So I guess if you have a big mix of kid ages too, it might be better to like sit them all down and talk about it together so they're all hearing about it at the same time rather than word of mouth. Because I know when I was 10 years old, I didn't explain things very well to people, especially the nuances of a global pandemic. So that, I guess that would be another hint out there too.
There's tons of resources online too. If you want to Google like how to talk to kids about coronavirus or whatever, and try to find some experts that are more, that aren't just two dudes that used to be on TV.
Right.
That you should go ahead and seek that out. I would encourage you guys to go ahead and seek that out. But man, these teachers, they're trying their hardest, you know. I almost said her name. I guess I could say her name. Well, whatever. We'll keep it out of it. His teacher, she's trying her hardest, but yeah, the kids running around on the iPad and trying to keep their interest in stuff. It's tough. It's, you know, it's got to be tough to do it in regular kindergarten setting. Yeah. Can you imagine the first day of kindergarten anyway for the teacher? I bet it's insane every year. And then this year obviously has some different insanity attached to it. But
right.
Everybody's just doing the best they can out there. You know, I do have to say though, man, above all else, and I know it's been a sensitive issue around the country and whatever, and I don't know why it's a sensitive issue, but it has been. If the schools were open, we wouldn't be sending them anyway. And I'm so thankful that they made the decision to do this iPad thing, because the thought of sending our little bundle of joy, I don't know what the words, our little miracle, whatever stupid term you want to use, like the idea that for 5.5 years we've protected him and, you know, insulated him and padded him up when he's doing anything dangerous and caught him before he hits his teeth on the pavement and all those things for 5.5 years. And then the idea that we would just send him off to a place with kindergarten through sixth graders plus all the adult staff during a global pandemic was just not going to happen for us. And so when they made the decision to go online, we were like so just happy about that, because we had already said like, no, forget it. We'll just homeschool for 1 year. And, you know, not like he just wouldn't have received an education. We would have figured it out, you know, but there was no way we were going to. And I see these pictures of, you know, from like states like Georgia, where they're hanging up plastic shower curtains and stuff in school hallways in order to try to whatever. I'm like, what are we? That's insanity. Like, right? I mean, do you agree with me on that? Or are I? Because
because
even though the risks are low, like you've said, and whatever. I mean, the kids take a gymnastics class before all this happens, and I feel sick as a dog for 3 days, and I didn't even go to the little place. You know,
right?
Like, kids just they give stuff to each other all the time. And so forget about the coronavirus, just the general sicknesses that they would be bringing home from kindergarten during all of this. And then the anxiety that would create about what you think you have and whatever. I'm glad that we get to try to avoid all of that at least.
Right. Yeah, I get it. Well, it's funny. And I guess I'm probably outing myself and I will probably face some ire from people, but we haven't made a full-on decision on it. But that was going to be the other part that I was going to talk about. Before all this had happened, we had registered Rosie for preschool back in like January, I think. And so we put in our deposit and we were ready to go. And it's just going to be, it's a couple hours a day, 2 days a week. And at that point, it's like, she's so young, she doesn't need to go to preschool, but we just did it for the social element and the structure and the external authority, because that's what she desperately needs right now. And especially now where she doesn't really know how to play with kids anymore, because she hasn't seen one in 6 months. So she's like it's getting really difficult to teach her how to play at her level with no other kids around to do it. And we're just starting to see a little bit of that like deep, deep social need coming out. So we were so excited for her to do preschool, and then the lockdown happened. We're like, oh, okay, well, no preschool. And then apparently we got an email from the preschool saying, oh, actually, no, we're still going to be open, and we have all these like precautions, and the kids aren't wearing shoes, and like we're distancing people and all that stuff. And basically, we're going to go see for ourselves how they're doing things before making a decision on it. But we're kind of getting ready to let her do that because of the reasons that you talked about. For one, we still have the antibody thing for the next like month or so. So it gives us some buffer to see how they're doing things. For two, like you said, I mean, I don't know. This is where I think we just are probably going to continue to have slightly different perspectives on it. But as long as we're being careful with everything else, it's like 1% of the population is getting it, and almost none of it is children. And maybe that'll change as the school year starts, but the odds of that versus the potential, in our opinion, the potential damage of not being able to socialize at this age, like I believe at this point that that's going to become one of the greater long-term casualties, is just how, what this is going to do to kids' minds and social abilities, and at this incredibly formative time.
I gotta tell you, man, this is aimed more at society than it is to you. I don't buy that for one second.
Tell me why.
Because they have you and you're being social with them all the time. I could make the argument that this generation of kids will be more highly evolved than any other generation because they've been hanging out with adults. I mean, you could flip it completely on its head and say that they'll be able to communicate better because, now this is obviously if you're doing a good job and paying attention and right. all that at home, and if you're able to, and I understand that there's like a million and one variables, but to be perfectly honest, I think our kids have probably learned more during this time than they would have if they were just on a normal summer before school started. Like, I mean, our 5.5-year-old is like pretty much full on reading before even entering kindergarten. And it's because we've just been having the time to sit around and like pay better attention and all those sorts of things. And like the social aspect of it, like, I mean, you're talking to her all the time and then she's relating to you and they're still watching TV and they're still, I mean, I get that it's not fully well-rounded. All I'm saying is like, if everything just like, let's play the hypothetical game, right? And knock on a bunch of wood. Cause I hope this happens. Like if there's a really great vaccine and all that stuff and that it happens like around the beginning of the year or whatever, you really only miss like 2 or 3 months of that stuff mm-hmm. extra, you know right. what I mean? And so my feeling is like, look, I think there's a point where like if we get into like next March, April, May, it starts to really, really starts to get to a point where I think I would change my mind on it a little bit. But if we're only talking about like the first 2 or 3 months of school, I'm okay with doing that at home or not. Now, also though, as I'm talking, I'm thinking about what you were saying. I know what you're talking about. You're talking about like a private preschool that's because she's so young and everything. You're not talking about the public school system.
Right.
I think what I was more talking about is also like, I mean, the school at the end of our street, we're talking hundreds of kids.
Right. You know exactly.
I mean? Plus yeah. staff, plus parents in and out, plus grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles and guardians picking them up and exactly. dropping them off. And they're coming from hundreds of different households with hundreds of different views on the world and whatever. Like your private preschool is probably what, like 16 kids or something.
I think it's like
that.
For her group, I think it's like 8 kids and 1 teacher.
Yeah, so see, that's also a much different
right.
scenario. But I was just going to say, like, I just think the social thing, because I hear this argument a lot and I get it, but at the same time, like, you're there. And so is, you know, grandmas and grandpas, if they're being careful, people are still doing visits uh-huh. with that. There's, you know, families down the street that you can decide to sort of self-isolate together so that you can have play dates there. I think yeah. there's options out there. I think, I don't know, man. For me, I'm a little more nervous than that.
Yeah, I get it.
But that's just me.
I get it. And honestly, maybe it's because we've already had it that we already know, like, it's not yeah. fun, but it really is basically just a flu for people in our age group, and children are
well,
even more resilient
know.
To it. I know there's
it's not
been,
what I read out there.
There's been that little uptick in people in our age group, but that's also, I think, just because more people are getting it. But overall, it's still the case level just to get it, period, is like a 1% chance. The hospitalization rate is less than half of that. And then the death rate is way like a 1% of that 1%. So it's, you know, it. I know that like news outlets have to make it sound more serious so that you click on the article and look at the ads. Those things have to make money by saying cases are soaring when soaring is a hotspot of 200 people in one county, you know, because technically it is, but also, you know, they have sort of a duty to make it so that you read the article. So like sometimes, you have to zoom out a little bit and look at it with a real grain of salt, because when they say that things are insane, sometimes they are from a statistical standpoint, but in the grand scheme of things, they're kind of not. So I don't know. This is, it's new ground for us, and we're not committed to doing it. We one look at this thing and we may say, all right, forget it. Even with only 8 kids and with all the precautions that they're doing and with the packaged food and with the revised activities and everything, we don't feel good about it. But like you said, it's not public school. There's not thousands of people walking through those halls every day. It's like one parent at a time is allowed, and they can't go inside, and it's all, I don't know, we're going to find out about it actually today and go see the school and see if we like approve of basically what they're doing. But
yeah,
I understand what you're talking about with the social aspect of, well, the parents are there and everything. And you're absolutely right, because Rosie has grown a ton in terms of her language skills and even her, well, not reading, but she's like really into phonics right now. And so we're doing everything that we can to just do raw education. But there's what we're realizing now is there's such a difference in how we just play and interact with the world compared to how other kids do. And that's what she's never going to get with us. And the other part is we're trying to get her to do life without us involved. Like that's the other problem is
you can put that to bed for a few years.
Well, what,
good luck with that. Call me back in 3 years and let me know that you're still working on that.
Well, I'm sure we will, but that's what I'm saying is like she needs to be able to interact with human beings without us saying, and now you do this, and well, now yeah, you do yeah, this. But,
all right,
that's
I know,
what you,
but
what?
That's you're so far away from that.
From being able to walk away, sure. But I'm just saying the more she gets experience now with us saying, okay, go off and do life and make decisions and do the right thing. Like that's what it's about. That's why she's going. So yeah. She needs to go interact with kids without us looming over her saying, and now you do this. She needs to just know, and now you share. Like that's half of the point of what we're doing. And that's the kind of socialization that we want her to be able to experience that we as adults are never going to be able to give her. And just responding to external authority. Like at this point, we don't want the only people that she knows to listen to be her parents. There's going to be teachers, principals, bosses, people in her life that are not us. That the sooner she gets used to having to listen to other people and having reinforcement of, okay, mommy and daddy tell me that I'm supposed to do this. Oh, but wait, now this person is saying I'm supposed to do it too. That kind of reinforcement rather than just, oh, well, that's just my parents saying it. So I'm going to disobey because that's just them. We've already seen that kind of thing happening with her. So there's stuff that is beneficial where the parents are really around a whole lot more, like from a purely academic one-on-one focused side to do it at their pace. But there's kid-on-kid interactions where the parents aren't around that she's never going to have the opportunity to do in this situation. And she's never going to have the opportunity to respond to external authority while we're the only authority that's there and we're just constantly with her. So that I feel like the potential there is that when we're in this lockdown situation, it's potentially going to breed some dependence because when all of a sudden the parents have been with you 24/7 and then it's like, okay, off to school as soon as the lockdown's over, I feel like that's going to be a little bit jarring, you know? So I don't know. Like you said, I think we're
that's
in different
what school
places
is anyway, though.
Yeah,
that's
but,
what school is anyway.
But in How's the meantime, they went to preschool. They went to the park. They
She's
socialized
go to
with
preschool.
Other kids. She's going to preschool now. She has to go to preschool. There is no preschool online. It doesn't exist. So this is the only way to do it. That's the problem. Like there is no, unless it's pre-K where you're actually in kind of a pseudo classroom setting, there's no way to do preschool online. You can't sit a 2-year-old in front of an iPad and expect her to understand what's going on. So that's the problem. There's your boy had that, you know, we've talked about that when he started going to preschool and started having that very slow kind of introduction into the classroom setting.
Yeah, but he didn't go to preschool till 4 though.
Yeah, that's no, but that was like preschool.
She'll go. It's just going to be 6 months later. That's all I'm saying. Like, but at the same time, dude, like, I'm not throwing shade or anything. Like, you guys are smart, capable adults who are making your own decisions. I'm just, you know, playing devil's advocate or saying what I would do or whatever. But
no, I understand. I totally,
you know, because that's the other thing about this time, man, is like, everyone's trying to tell everyone else what they should be doing and force people into doing things that, you know, that they themselves feel comfortable with. And I'm just not about that at all. Like, you guys do you. I don't know if I would, but at the same time, that's your thing. And I just hope that everything is fine for everybody and everybody makes it through it. You know, as we said at the beginning of this whole thing, I'm not even really that worried about the getting sick part or anything. It's more just the complete pain in the ass that it would be to have to do all the isolation like that you guys had to go through and all that kind of stuff. I just don't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
Is all. And also our goal of making it through this without the kids ever wearing a mask is still intact. And I, you know me, like once I'm on a streak, I don't want to let it go. So
yeah,
I just want to keep it going.
I get it. You got your challenge. Yeah, no, you're right. I think we're in just kind of different places on it. And that's probably going to evolve as time goes on. And again, like you said, we're going to sort of assess our thing. But we went way long on that. We should really take a break and then talk some more about it after we come back. So you want to stick around?
Yeah.
All right.
I'll be here.
Oh, great. Okay, good. I'm glad I didn't scare you away. Let's take a break. We'll be back. Welcome back to Radioactive Dads, everybody. I'm Nathan Kress. Across the airwaves is my dear friend, fellow dad, and actor Brett Davern. We've been discussing everything that's going on in our lives regarding the COVID lockdown and where we've been, what we've been doing, whether to get into school, whether to get out of school. If you're just tuning in, Brett and I just had a verbal fist fight about if it's okay.
Did we?
No.
Oh my God.
No.
That would be the most tame argument ever.
You know, I just really disagree. Dish! Oh, this is, man.
Respectfully.
I felt undertones, Brett. There were undertones. I'm just kidding.
No, man.
You were very nice about it.
Dude, I'm not throwing any shade at anybody, man. Like, I just feel like during this time, it's so unprecedented with everything from the Black Lives Matter movement to the election coming up to the pandemic that's going on. Like, the world is so crazy right now, and I'm trying so hard to just try to do me. You know what I mean? And I just find that everybody out there is not really letting anyone do that. Mm-hmm. Everyone's going, no, but you, I want you to do what I want you to do, and I want you to do it because it's what I think.
Right.
I'm like, dude, whatever, man. For me, I'm a little too nervous about it. And also, I figure, what's the point? Because hopefully there's only a few months left. And I'm just going to keep riding with that for now. That's just my whole like philosophy. I'm just like,
yeah, exactly.
I'd rather just play it safe. That's all.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And I don't even think that you're wrong. Like, I still have kind of my qualms about it too. But it's just at this point, like, it's just weighing the risk in the statistics and seeing what happens. But like you said, we're just going to see. We don't know what's happening. But if I may, can I pivot right out of this discussion and tell you a funny and kind of sad story?
So absolutely.
This was something I wanted to tell you about this earlier, and that it just became a weird transition. So I'm just going to call this out as a weird transition, but I just thought it was funny, so I'm going to tell you about it. So back in Michigan, we have to road trip to get up to where we were staying, kind of in like the Upper Peninsula area and like the Mackinac City portion, which is this really cute, like little kind of beach lake town. So we were kind of doing some excursion stuff around there and going to like the little state beaches where we could just sort of get away from everybody and get in the water and let Rosie just play with rocks and stuff. And so we did that. It was a really great experience. On the way back down, it was really nice actually, cause it's a pretty long drive and we had to take two cars for the people that were there. And, so the way that it ended up working out was that Rosie and all the grandparents and London's uncle stayed in one car and they just road tripped the whole way. And London and I got to take our own car and just trail behind them and just like be quiet and talk when we wanted to and listen to music when we wanted to for 4 hours. It was unbelievable. It was so insanely rare to just have an opportunity to do that. And that was like practically the vacation in and of itself. but there was,
I'm just chuckling because like, I know exactly what you mean. I'm with you. Chuckling. I've become an audience member for a second and I'm just chuckling along in my car as I listen to the podcast. I'm just going, I get it.
Yep. All the parents out there, you understand this glory to have just a quiet car. But in the midst of this, we're still trying to potty train Rosie. And every time we travel, it always throws her off because we throw a pull up on her because we don't want to be stopping every 20 minutes to find a bathroom. And there's big stretches between rest stops and it's just a pain. So we stick a pull up on her, say, hold it when you can. And, you know, we'll stop if it's convenient to stop. But we've been really trying to make a point to stop if she has to poop. So, because we just don't want her to have to poop in her pants. Because that's just really uncomfortable. And she's pretty good at holding it. She's not great at holding pee, but she's really good at holding poop. So
now, holding poop in is never fun.
No, definitely not. And especially not, it's hard to explain to a kid, you know, the nuances of that. So we get a phone call. Grandma calls and says, hey, Rosie has to poop. We're going to go to this gas station. We happen to be like right next to one and we're going to go in there. And
Go. Well, something just hit me in the head and I just have to bring it up. Isn't it weird though, conceptually, like just for a second, isn't it strange that when we raise kids from 0 till like 3, we just let them poop in their pants as much as they want? They can pee and poop in their pants anytime they want because we've got these magic things in there that we help us clean it up and it's all good, right? Yep. And then at some point, sort of before they're really able to understand it, we go, no more pooping in your pants. And they're like, what? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's so weird, right? Like, what did cave people do? They just must have been pooping wherever,
like horses,
their whole time. And it never really changed, right? Like, it just always pooped out in the woods, right?
Uh-huh.
But, like, that's just sort of a weird line of demarcation in human history where it was like, no more pooping in wherever you want.
Yeah.
We all do it here now.
Right.
What? Why?
Yeah. I really wonder when that started happening. That's an astounding observation.
Like, what was that day? Like, the first day in human history when everyone was like, now we poop in this hole.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I feel like it probably.
But not if you're a baby.
Right.
If you're a baby,
you
can poop wherever you want or in your pants until a certain age. Then we tell you have to poop in this hole.
This is why potty training is kind of insane. Like, we're going to take this one thing that you know to be the constant in your life, and now we're going to tell you you can't do that thing anymore. You know?
How many 30 somethings on that day when they said poop in the hole now? How many 30 somethings were like, no, I'm going to still poop wherever I want. And I don't care what kind of, you know, I'm a forever poop wherever I want type guy. Like everyone had to wait for those generations to die off, right? It's like the people who won't wear masks right now, you know, they're like, no, I'm just not going to do it. And everyone's like, but we're all pooping in this hole now. And they're like, not me. I'm still pooping wherever the hell I want.
Yep.
It's like, that must have happened though, right? Because that's everything is with society. Like something new happens and then a bunch of people go, I'm still going to do it the old way.
Yep.
Anyway,
And
I don't know. I just thought it was like the image of like a kid who like has been pooping in her pants all the time. And then all of a sudden they're just told like, you can't anymore.
Yeah.
It's like gotta be confusing.
Yeah, it happens to every kid. I'm glad I don't even remember that. So, because that was dramatic. I really want to go down this tangent, but I can't because now I have to tell this story and we're running.
Yeah,
out of time.
Back to the story. Sorry.
So, anyway, so we go to the gas station and Grandma runs in with Rosie to go poop and they're taking like a real long time. London ends up going in to kind of follow up and just see what's going on. And then they're in there for a really long time. And then I'm sitting there going, well, you know what? It's probably going to be like another hour and a half until we stop. We just had food. I just had a big drink. I'm going to go to the bathroom. So I go in there and I hear Rosie like crying, saying like, I don't have to go. And Lennon's in there like reasoning with her and saying, well, babe, don't try to get off. Just like wait. Just wait there a minute. And sometimes
see
it comes back. Yeah, because that's her big thing.
Yeah, start scrolling through Twitter.
Exactly. Do it like daddy. So so that's been the really hard thing is even with pee, if she happens to be able to hold it where in that moment she gets to the bathroom and doesn't have to do it anymore, she just assumes, oh, I don't have to go. So we've been really trying to get her to like stick with it and just say, just wait a minute and relax and it'll probably come out. So they were having that, you know, teachable moment in the bathroom and Rosie's like fighting it and everything. And so she's in there with Grandma and London, and I am, you know, in the other bathroom. And as I walk out, London walks out too and just says, okay, bye, just keep trying, or something like that, leaving Grandma in there with Rosie. And we walked past the clerk and we just said, I made some kind of offhanded comment about like it being, oh, so insane that she said that she needed to poop but didn't, because she does that all the time. She says like, I gotta go poop, and then runs, and then it doesn't happen. And then she says, I gotta go poop, like 5 minutes later. It's been this weird phase she's been in where she'll do it like 4 or 5 times in a row before she actually poops. So we were just kind of like commenting on that to each other. And we got back out to the car, cranked it up and started driving away. And the clerk runs to the window and like looks out the window and side eyes and like starts looking very concerned. And so we kind of pulled to a stop and like near where the door was and just sort of looked in her direction, trying to figure out like, is there something else out here? Like what's going on? Is she okay? What's happening? And we were like, I guess it's nothing. She's not like coming out. We didn't forget anything. And so we just like start pulling away slowly to see if she'll say like, hey, you know, you dropped whatever. And so we start pulling out, and then she runs back behind the counter and looks out the window and like keeps following our eyeline as we're driving. We're like, what's going on? This is so weird. And so, but she didn't do anything. She just kept watching. So we were like, and then I had that moment. I was like, maybe she recognized me, because she was young. She was like in her early 20s.
Because you're so famous.
Look, dude, I'm gonna.
This is the famous guy at a gas station story. You're so popular.
The only reason I say
this. She must want an autograph. She's been looking at me for more than 3 seconds.
Stop gaslighting me, Brett. The only reason I say that is because, oh, and this was another thing that I was going to talk to you about. We're going to save this for another day. But this was, I have these weird cyclical days where it goes from no one recognizing me to suddenly like 5 people in the space of an hour, even though I've changed nothing about myself. Even with a mask on, it happens. And I don't know why that is, but this was one of those days where even through a mask, people, I don't know if it was my voice or something that I said or did, but people were recognizing me that day as opposed to any of the other days while we were on this trip.
Well, so I was like, probably was the full page ad you took out in the local newspaper announcing your arrival into town.
Maybe.
It had a little something to do with it, probably.
Maybe like the blurb I put out on the local radio station. It might have been, because they listen to a lot of radio in those gas stations.
Hear ye, hear ye. Nickelodeon Zone is now in town.
Yes. So it was that thing of like, that's happened before. Maybe it's just that. And like, sometimes it happens where they don't necessarily recognize me until London shows up. And then for people who know both of us, then it like confirms, oh yeah, it is them. So we were just
well,
like,
well, and I know you, if you thought that person recognized you and wanted a picture, you're going to do everything you can to go back and make that person's day too. I can just imagine you just going like, but maybe she wants a photo. Like maybe we should stop.
Yeah. There was that question.
So I want to be a good guy. That's what I'm saying. You're such a good person that I could see you just being like, but I have to make this person's day.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was meanwhile, I'd be sitting in the passenger seat like, can we just drive away, please? Can you just drive away?
Yeah.
We'll exactly. have time for your adoring public later. Let's go.
Right. We got a deadline. We have to get back by 10. So all of these things are going through our mind, but we're like, I don't know, maybe we should just keep going. And then we drive off and this poor girl, she sprints to the bathroom. And we're realizing in that moment, she thought that we left Rosie at the gas station, like on purpose. And
that blurb in the local paper is about to become a lot different.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's going around on Twitter.
Nickelodeon
for sure.
Zone abandons child in gas station bathroom.
Mid-Michigan BP station off the highway. So it was so sad because at that moment we had that thing of like, okay, we know that she just forgot that she came in with Grandma.
Right.
We know that we did not abandon our child. We know.
I did not abandon my boy. There will be blood. I've abandoned my boy.
So we're going through this whole conversation in the car saying, do we stop and turn back around and explain ourselves? Do we vindicate, like, don't worry, I understand your concern, and that's so sweet of you for caring enough to want to run in and make sure that we didn't abandon our child. And I'm sure you went in, saw grandma standing there and went, oh yeah, that's right, I forgot, I'm sorry, you came in with her too, and you know, everything's fine. But we felt so dirty for the rest of that car ride.
Wait, did you just leave?
We went, well, because we were already on the highway when we were, like, it was right off the highway. So once we saw her running to the bathroom, we were on the on-ramp. So we're kind of committed to that amazing direction where we're like, but we know that we didn't do anything. And as soon as she gets in,
it's
there,
amazing,
it's all going to diffuse. She's going to see grandma in there. It's going to be fine. And they're going to go, ha, 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 ha. You know, what a, that's funny. But then at the same time, we were like, oh, but what if this, like, really, like, messed her up? And what if she's scared right now? And what if, you know, like, there was so many, there's so many scenarios running through our head of how that could have played out. And we thought about, like, calling the gas station later and just saying, hey, it's us.
And like, maybe send like a 8x10, like, with an autograph on it, like, send a black and white headshot or something.
Yeah, with an edible arrangement, you know?
Yeah,
like,
just something that's like, hey, I know you're freaked out, but, like, here's a signed photo. Like, thanks for watching the show. Something
love
like that.
TV's Nathan Kress.
Right, yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So
remember that time you thought I abandoned my kid in your bathroom?
Yeah.
That best wishes.
Really Nathan. Great for TikTok. So we had this thing where we felt just like the world's worst parents, even though we knew we did nothing wrong.
Right.
And it was a really, really sad day. But it was fun. Like, she ran in the bathroom and we called Lennon's mom later and said, what happened when we went in there? And she was like, oh, she just kind of came in fast and then said, oh, I'm just checking on this garbage can lid. And then just sort of, like, I guess, like, flapped it and then walked out. So she had, jeez, like, yeah, it was.
Now, well, this does beg the question, though, like, what if that wasn't grandma, though? You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Now this person goes from hero to zero. Like, they go busting in there like Tom Cruise in an action movie, ready to save the day. And then they see an older person in there with the kid and they decide, well, I'll abandon this mission.
Right.
Like, what if that was an evildoer?
Right. It could have been. But I think at that point she would have remembered Rosie walked in with grandma, like, holding her. So,
yeah, but I'm just saying, to completely abandon and to go to the trash can excuse, why don't you just at least just say, oh, that's right. Oh, you're her grandmother, right? Like, that's all, like, as a parent, like, don't completely abandon the mission. Just ask.
I get it. I think what probably happened is that she, like, remembered in that moment that she saw them walk in, but if she was suspicious, she was so concerned and I think was, like, trying to, like, get our license plate or something.
Sure,
that
probably.
At that point, I think she probably would have, like, under the table called the cops if she didn't think that it was legit or didn't legitimately remember that they walked in together, or that they were having, like, interactions where she was calling her grandma, you know, while she was in there,
right,
or something.
Right.
So she was very conscientious. And for all this, I highly doubt she's listening to this, but I am so proud of her for, like, really caring and doing what she did.
I'm not as proud. I think you got to continue that mission though.
I think she did though. No, I think she would have.
No, this is a bad person.
Okay, Brett.
I'm completely kidding. I'm completely kidding. I'm joking. I'm completely kidding. I'm completely joking. That's hilarious. The only thing that would make this story better is the cherry on top would be that you got, like, one exit away and then an Amber Alert went off on your guy's phone.
That's exactly what we were saying was going
to
happen.
That would be amazing. Yes. Like, you'd have to call the cops on yourself and be like, hey, you know that Honda Civic you're looking for? We're driving it because it's fine.
Yep. And our daughter is not in the back seat like she would normally be because she's in grandma's back seat. That was a wild night. But it was just that scary thing of, like, I'm sure that's happened. you know, yeah, like at a gas station before. So she probably got like training on that, which
sucks.
Oh,
it's probably that employee's worst nightmare. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like it's finally her thing of like, oh, this is my day. It's happening to me, you know, and I have to like take care of this child. Like I just feel so bad for all the things that went through her mind and that we did not turn around to stop and help. But it was a very conflicting day.
I never thought it would be the guy from iCarly.
Right.
That abandoned
of all
his
people.
Child.
Why would Freddie Benson do that to this cute, cute little child?
She's like, not only is this the worst story of my life, but it's also kind of the greatest. Like, yeah. This is crazy.
I might get Twitter famous for this.
Anyway.
The day Freddie Benson locked his kid in a thing, a thread.
That's hilarious and good on that employee for double checking. I just, you know, come up with a better excuse than the trash can lid. Like, I've been in a lot of gas station bathrooms and they're not concerned about the trash can lid. Trust
yeah.
me.
Yeah. Yeah. So, if I was a kidnapper, I would have been highly suspect. I would have hightailed it out of there.
Speaking of hightailing it out of there, that's it for us there, buddy.
You
want
to
wrap it up?
Yes, I sure do. Well, thanks for listening, everybody, to our lovely little program. Happy that you could join us today. If you have any comments or any questions or anything that you want to say about what we've talked about today or in previous episodes for that matter, feel free to send us an email, radioactivedads@gmail.com, or shoot us a DM at radioactivedads on all the social media platforms. We want to hear from you. If you have any other thoughts or disagreements or anything else about all the school stuff or any of the stuff we've been talking about, we want to hear from you and we want to discuss. So shoot us a line and we will see you guys next week. I'm Nathan Kress. That's my buddy Brett Davern, who I'm speaking for. Please take care. Wash your hands. Wear a mask. Look after each other. And we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.